Welcome to That's a Chunky. This is Kevin. I'm joined by James, who brought his own much larger organ today and a bunch of plates. So I don't know what he's got planned for us tonight. Jared cannot make it tonight. He I don't know what this means, but he texted me his head is caught in a stewed tomato. So he will not be here tonight. James is here. We've already caught up, so I'm going to get right into an amazing email I got. And this person has asked to be credited as Matt, the disgruntled factory worker who got caught farting in the heads of Tammy Crapp's dolls, Kummel. This is an amazing email. It's taken me too long to actually put this into action, but I'm going to read it word for word. What about ranking all the original songs by how well they fit into your Q zone? And if Little Buff Boys doesn't win, I'll kill myself on live TV. God, the NSA should have fun with me saying that. You should have a cool, music-savvy guest host on. Well, we have James, so that counts. I kind of like the podcast Bandsplain on Spotify. They actually had a guest host on their Radiohead episodes that does a lot of Kanye music deep dives. My son has listened to that whole podcast. I can't remember what it's called. I think that podcast is, God, I actually listened to that. I'm going to have to figure out what it's called. It's really good. Think of all the songs. Baby of the Year, The Day Robert Palin's Murdered Me, The Bones Are Their Money, and he says in parentheses, this one's really my favorite, and I have an awesome t-shirt based on it, but the song doesn't allow me to connect to the series of asterisks below, so it loses some points. That's we'll explain that later, I think. He says Baby of the Year again, which made me laugh, although I do think he means Little Buff Boys. Moon River Rock, I played this one for my family, and they said it sucks. Palm Tree Guys, Friday Night, He Layeth on High, Dangerous Knife, and he says, is it really called Dangerous Knife? The knight is a knife? And we'll discuss that. I'm sure I missed some, but this was my most terrific mowing the lawn thought for the day. There's a bunch of asterisks at the bottom, which first one says, my 14-year-old goes over to a friend's backyard one time a week where they have a personal trainer named Rod. And it says in parentheses, is there a more personal trainer name who runs a thing called Tough Teens, but I can't help but refer to it as Little Buff Boys.
Oh, man.
We have some others.
How is Tough Teens spelled? Is it T-U-F-F, I hope?
Wait, how is what spelled?
Tough Teens.
It is an O-U-G-H, which just seems like a branding mistake. How do you Google that?
Yeah.
He has some other hilarious things, but he also says as that's a chunky one in a word yet. If you don't count the like several Pulitzer Prizes we've won, and the Peabody and the Oscar, we have not won any other awards, except for the Nobel Peace Prize, but that doesn't really count. So yeah, that's kind of an amazing email. James and I kind of did some real homework today.
Yeah, I did a little research, and I just want to maybe warn the listeners, because this episode is going to be somber, so it's all right to cry.
That's good. I like that. I also want to warn people that we're keeping this vague as to the concept of what's in our Q zone. So our rankings might not be what's best. It might not be what's funniest. We're going by the vague concept of what's in your Q zone. For me, I have to put it out there. I actually based it on sort of like what probably the amount of times I've listened to each song or will eventually listen to each song. And I'm going to throw out right now that I think my top four are essentially like, I like the order I have them in, but they're all like 100 out of 100 to me.
Yeah, I had a hard time figuring out just like what characteristics to rank them on. And so I kind of did a little bit of a combination of like how funny they are just on their own mixed with how well they fit into the sketch that they're being used for. mixed with just like how thinking about or listening to the song makes me feel, or like, you know, think about the context of it. So I feel like Q-Zone is the only really fair way to categorize this, because there may be some that aren't so funny as a song that are ranked ahead of funnier ones, but because of how they kind of like fit into their place in the show.
Yes, and we will, as always, we welcome hate mail. The email address is figureoutwhatyoudo@gmail.com. And we get a lot of messages on Instagram, which really are a lot of fun for me. So bring them on. All right, we're gonna go in James's reverse order, and I'm just going to kind of say what my rankings are during the discussion. So there are technically, if we try hard, there might be more than 10 songs, but we're going to do our top 10. So James, what is your 10th pick?
All right. Well, before I get to 10, should I give like my honorable mentions, or do we want to just go ahead and start with 10?
Let's do those at the end, because we might, and make sure I don't forget though, because I used to do a podcast with some other people, and I'd always be like honorable mentions at the end, and then I would just forget to go back to them. So it's your job to make sure I don't forget.
All right. Sounds good. Well, I did. So for 10, I kind of am cheating a little bit in that I'm doing a tie of two that are kind of permanently intertwined in my mind. So hopefully that's allowed.
It is.
And you kind of touched on it in the intro. I am putting Baby of the Year and Little Buff Boys tied at 10 for me.
Okay.
I think because the context is so similar, you know, it's Sam Richardson introducing an absurd, like viewing experience on stage about like ranking young children. And he does a great job of, like expressing the absurdity of his character's song and the premise of what he's singing about. So maybe it's a little bit unfair to put these so low, but I feel like both of these to me were like maybe the lowest part of their sketches. I feel like the sketches themselves were funnier than the intro songs for Baby of the Year and Little Buff Boys. So I don't want this to be seen as a reflection of how funny those sketches were, but I feel like the songs are more sort of like giving the opportunity for Sam Richardson to kind of like vamp a little bit and like just sort of get center stage on the absurd songs. So I kind of lumped them at the bottom of my top 10. I feel a little bit guilty about it because I still think they're both funny. You know, I think he in Baby of the Year, he goes into, you know, are they ticklish? Are they jigglish? And some other sort of absurd phrasings. And there's some similar stuff in Little Buff Boys. I forget the exact wording. It's like,
oh, I get it all.
Strutting and scrunching or something.
Squishing and scrunching. Yeah, squishing exactly. And crunching with their buff, their little buff bodies. All right, so I have to respectfully say I disagree strongly. And by the way, are these after 9? Are these like 10 and 11, or are these like 9 and 10?
Yeah, these are 10 and 11. That's, all right. That's how I have it.
So I have Little Buff Boys at 6. First of all, I think if you put Sam Richardson, if you were smart as like a show promoter in music, and you had him perform that, say like opening up for like a Kid Rock concert, and then like the Juggalos with like ICP, I feel like that song charts. It's got a little edge to it. I feel like
it's got a real strong finish. The today.
Like,
great.
If you were at a bar in a bar fight and Little Buff Boys came on, it would like probably enhance your ability to fight.
Yeah, I could see that. I could also see it working as like a you know, professional wrestling walk-on song for someone too. Like,
Yeah. Oh, you know, for
someone
sure.
Someone entering the ring. Maybe like especially for like a tag team, I think it would work.
Oh, and I can't believe you didn't say, it can't be you, little buff boys. You know why it can't be you.
You're right. Yeah, they know why it can't be them.
I'm just going to throw out something that might sound crazy to you. I considered Baby of the Year all the way at number one.
Wow.
I picked it at number four. I kind of think it's like a tour de force. I think like if Sam Richardson had to like submit a reel for any comedy show, it's just like that song. Cause he's like singing, he's dancing, he's smiling. You know, Sam's got that like amazing vibe about him.
Yeah.
It's absurd. True. It's like,
there is a lot of range in Baby of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I'm a big hip hop fan, as some know. The internal rhyme of "Rummy Bummy Tummies," that's like MF Doom esque. Heads are round, bellies are squishy. You were talking about, are they ticklish? Are they jigglish? Can they be tricked? Can they be chucked?
That's a line that I've never fully understood.
You understand.
Is chuck like throwing them?
Thrown. Kind of chuck? Yeah. It'll stay young forever, dummy. Yeah, and I know, you know, I think a lot of us like talk about our I'm coining this phrase, by the way, and this will last forever until we're at the conventions in like 25 years with like a washed up Zach Kanan. Be like 45 years. Everyone has their like, I think you should leave alpha, like the beginning when they're like, how do you go from watching a show to like rewatching and rewatching? Baby of the Year was probably one of the two or three sketches that kept me in it. The theme song, it's ridiculous. For me, it's just Sam Richardson is just like an uber talent. I bet $10 on him at million to one odds that he'll win Best Actor in the Academy Awards.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see that, and that kind of range is fully on display in this song, where he's like, yeah, he facial expressions, like he's mixing the sort of the caricature of like hammy performer with like actually succeeding at being a like good hammy performer, plus like he has, you know, the I forget which line he does it on, where it goes, the music is into sort of like a hard rock kind of thing.
Look at their toes, like so many curly canned shrimp.
Yes, that doesn't exactly make sense. yeah so I mean the range is there. I feel like it's a great vehicle for Sam Richardson really like showing the stuff, and I mean, I maybe it's unfair for me to have it this low. I think it's a great song.
I mean, frankly, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
It's one of the most aggressive rankings of songs I've ever met.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good. What's your number nine?
So my number nine is actually not from I Think You Should Leave. It's from The Characters.
Ooh.
Number nine, I have the Lady Luck song at the beginning of the Sammy Paradise sketch.
All right. So that's my number seven. Sammy Paradise, okay. Old Two Eyes himself.
Yeah.
The lyrics are Lady Luck, they call her Lady Luck. That's definitely an amazing nothing line.
Yeah.
When she kisses me, I'm in heaven. I'm as lucky as Lucky Seven. Cha-ching, she's a dame who's fine. Kapow, and she's mine, oh mine. Zowie, she's the girl with the most. Kapowie, and I'm her host. Lady Luck, good fortune, ring-a-ding-dong. I can sing to her all night long. Make a wish, Lady Luck. All right, so I definitely might have had three or four days where my wife just tolerated me saying ring-a-ding-dong all day.
Yeah.
It felt good. It felt real good.
I think we've all been there.
Yes. Yeah, it's a really interesting song because it's all right, I have two young kids. When you listen to like Disney songs, there's often stuff in them that make no sense unless you've also seen the movie, because it's like the plot is woven into the song and like people are talking. Yeah. And this is one where he like is singing and talking and singing and talking. And it really kind of works, I think.
Yeah, it's hard to separate the spoken word parts from the sung parts, right? Because like he has the little interludes where he's like, here's a tip, find a new line of work. Here's another tip, a cool grand. So I think there's a lot of like I think both the song and those little interspersed lines are like a good send up of like what you would imagine, you know, like people from the 1940s who like think they're being clever and funny are like singing, like a send up of you know, it almost makes me think of what Brian from the Brian's Hat sketch would think of as being cool. Is like basically he's trying to be meta. Like Sammy Paradise.
Yes. That's a thought I'm going to use on discussion of another song, but I still watch SNL, and in my opinion, it's like always worth watching. There's a lot of stuff that's funny to very funny. But the thing I sometimes struggle with is most of the music performances are like, not the music, it's like the recorded songs that their comedians make are like kind of uncomfortable to me sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's always this irony that like Tim didn't fit in at SNL, and then like he makes stuff like this that's like the music is just incredibly functional and it works, and it's like it's funny in itself, but also like he is functional enough as a musician where it's not like killing your ears to, you know, like sometimes on SNL you're like, like I can kind of deal with like Chris Redd. I like him, but there's like, I'm not going to mention the people I don't like their music, cause I like them as artists in general, but I just feel like Tim is like very, very little of the music from the show is like, I can't listen to this.
It makes me wonder a little bit, you know, like there's a running sort of theme, especially in, there's like a whole Detroiters episode where he's like a terrible singer. Then like, I think there's definitely some examples where he's like in I Think You Should Leave, where he's singing, but it's like not good singing, or like, you know, not like performance quality singing. But it makes me wonder a little bit whether I'm sure he's like purposely playing that up. And so it makes me think there must be like a level of like, in the same way that Biff Whiff has to be like a very good actor to be able to play a person
bad actor
overacting, Tim's gotta probably be a pretty decent singer to be able to play a person who's like a very bad singer.
I'm thinking, so if I think you took good. Yeah, if you took like the like not the musicians of the world, but like everyone of the world, Tim's probably like a 7. You know, he's like not a professional singer, but like he'd handle his own at karaoke.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
All right. You're number 8.
Yeah. So this, at this point, it's also a little bit tough. I think I could potentially open myself up to hate mail for this, but
it's all
I'm
top 10.
Putting, my number 8 is Friday Night.
Oh yeah, you're gonna get some hate mail.
Although
Jared had it unranked. He said it was hard. No, just joking. Jared said it was his number 1.
I mean, so I will say, like, I think there's an aspect of this that, for whatever reason, this didn't grab me right away in the way that it seemingly did for a lot of other people. And so it's taken me a while for it to sort of become firmly entrenched meme and a level of every Friday I think about this song tweet about it to signal the start of the weekend kind of thing. And I think it is, I mean, it's great and it's funny, but something about it just is like, it's almost like it's like in the uncanny valley of like being almost too close to being like a legitimately like catchy, enjoyable song. And so it's in like a little limbo of like, is it really a funny song or is it like a little bit beyond being funny? I don't know. Something about it is just a little bit odd.
I think the humor is supposed to be that. I think the joke is, it's very subtle, but I think everybody gets it. It's like, the humor is that he's singing this song that is catchy. It's very like, from this trope of like, you know, these songs about like freedom and like feeling great. And he's singing it at his mom's funeral.
I think that's another aspect of it to me that I feel like, honestly, like it's another one where if you really rank it based on the sketch that surrounds it and its sort of humor of its place in the sketch, it certainly warrants being higher than I have it. It was hard. I debated this jumping this as high as I think fourth.
It number three, and not coincidentally, you know, the amazing shout out to my favorite musical artist of all time, Three Stacks, Andre 3000, who is just supposed to be a great person as well. I think one of the other arguments I could have to maybe push this up for you is, I think maybe out of all the songs on this list, if you hired like a pop artist to cover this, like it might be a huge hit. If you're like, Frank Ocean, we'll give you $100,000 to sing Friday Night. And like the funny thing, Frank Ocean could probably get an Andre 3000 verse too. He's one of the only people who can. That would be like the biggest hit in the country for a little while.
Did you see the before season two, the like the acoustic song promo for season, or I guess it was just the song from season one?
Yeah. And then like I a feel guitarist, like that, right?
Yeah. And that version of Friday Night kind of like really moved it a step closer to like where you could see it being basically like in the right hands, being a you know, maybe more of like a late 80s pop song or something, but like definitely like a song that could have charted or whatever in the right hands.
I kind of feel like if I like won that huge lottery that's about to happen, I might go to Netflix and be like, can I have the rights to this song for like $1.5 million? Just like try to get Frank Ocean, I got $1 million for you. And you know, like my tombstone would be like made Friday Night remix with Frank Ocean and Andre 3000. Well, Jared's going to cry even listens. Jeez. That's all right. Crying's healthy sometimes.
And right. I feel like when people hear the songs that I have sixth and seventh, there could really be riots in the street.
Studded belt pulled taut. That's hilarious. Yeah. All right, number seven.
All right, so number seven, I have Palm Trees, which is sung by Johnny in the Laser Spine Specialists.
My number eight.
Okay. All right. Fair. So it's close.
But my issue is I wanted to put it higher, but I couldn't hear it. I listened to the radio station all weekend and it never came on. So I don't even know what it sounds like.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it's, I honestly, it, It's right in Johnny's Q zone. So
I
I feel
am
like,
a star.
yeah, nobody tricked me.
I love him so much. That actor, Anthony Marciana, I love him so much. When he came
Yeah,
on, he's just the nicest person ever. And
his interview was great with you guys. Yeah.
he's back to back too. He's like at the end of this sketch and then as the son and
Yeah.
the organ, the new guy.
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted you a bunch. I'm gonna get
No,
out of the way.
it's fine. This one is, I mean, so this one, it's so short. It's such a short clip of a song. And so it made it really hard to like compare it to others. And it almost, I had to like think about it in terms of the context and just like the humor of the idea as it, as you experience it within the sketch, because it felt a little bit fair to basically like take, two lines of a song and rank that above, the other ones that are on my list. But I think just in terms of the impact on that sketch and like the humor that I find in like watching that sketch and that particular little clip, I think it's way up there. It gives so much added depth to what Robbie Starr is doing at Superstar Track Records, and also gives the context to what Johnny's situation is with like, desperately wanting to be a star, and also like with how immediately willing to like all Robbie Starr has to say is like, give us some of palm trees, and then Johnny immediately launches
It's like
into
he's
to
hypnotized.
yeah, he's like, yeah, almost like in a trance, like he's been, yeah, hypnotized.
Oh
Yeah. So I mean, and just also just the constant, just imagining, I mean, in that promo for season two, there was a slightly extended version of palm
Yeah.
trees with like a few more lines, which really fleshed out the idea of it. But it was basically the perfect distillation of like a F tier imitator of a Jimmy Buffett song or something. Like you
Yep.
basically you're just like really trying to cash in on like a beach bar at a like cheap, only some things included beach resort, like in, I don't know, like inner city Tampa, Florida or something.
Mainland
Yeah.
Tampa.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's
exactly. So
and
yeah,
I think that's too is like they there's no verses. It's like they give you just like the concept of the song and there's nothing else written as far as we
yeah.
know. It's
Yeah.
amazing.
Yeah,
So good.
I
I
think
think we're gonna
even
be
just the
coming back to
idea
that sketch.
of just the idea of there being the concept of palm tree girls and palm tree guys is just like it encapsulates so much just in that concept. So yeah, I think it's very funny, and it's right, definitely right in my Q zone. It's also in Johnny's Q zone.
It is. That's a Chunky has always been supported by the Etsy shop of Swayzine, Swayzine. In the past, you've seen his amazing motivational posters, his at the Nighthawks diner featuring characters from I Think You Should Leave. You also know his vintage jazz posters of Paul Bufano, Marcus the Worm Hicks, and Mookie Kramer. Swayzine has a ton of new items in his shop we wanted to let you guys know about. Those three jazz posters have been turned into attractive t-shirts. The Marcus Hicks in blue, the Mookie Kramer in green, Paul Bufano in white. He has a very affordable Bozo the Clown pewter sticker that you can put on your computer. There is a baby of the year bib and onesie. He has angels and archways t-shirts. as well as two new posters, one featuring Dangerous Knights, which is being framed and put on my wall, and an amazing portrait of Brian from the hat sketch, the insider trading sketch. But the whole point of me re-recording this ad was to tell you about maybe the most innovative, I think you should leave, product I've seen in my time doing this podcast, which is actual Dan Flash's shirts. So this isn't like a t-shirt that says Dan Flash on the front. This is a short or short sleeve polo or a long sleeve collared shirt that has the pattern Tim Robinson is wearing in the Dan Flash sketch, affordably priced at $30. I know when I went to the Dan Flash stores at the Creeks, I spent $800 out the door and didn't eat for a long time, saving my per diem. But if you go to Etsy.com/shop/Swayzine. Again, Swayzine is Swayzine. You can own these shirts yourself. And we want to thank Reggie from Swayzine for his support of That's a Chunky.